You are listening to The Real Shia Beliefs, a collaboration between Thacker Lane and Al Hujah Islamic Seminary. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider becoming our patron by donating at thackerlane.org/support.
One of the very important discussions when we examine shafa'a and intercession is to address this following question. Some people raise this objection that believing in shafa'a and intercession, propagating for it, talking about it, encourages people to sin. Because people are told that they can sin and count on the Prophet or the Ahlul Bayt to intercede on their behalf, and they won't act in a responsible way. In fact, you'll find some of them quoting these lines of poetry which talk about the Shafa'a of Imam Ali, Salaamu Alaikum, in a beautiful way. One of the scholars has authored this poem which says, "Sawwattu sahifata a'mali وَوَكَلْتُ الْأَمْرَ إِلَىٰ حَيْدَرِ." I have darkened the book of my deeds, but then I submit my case to Haydar, Imam Ali alayhi salam. هُوَ كَهْفِي مِن نُوَبِ الدُّنْيَا وَشَفِيعِي فِي يَوْمِ الْمَحْشَرِ. He's my resort from the difficulties of life, and he's my shafi', the one who will intercede on my behalf on the day of judgment. So how do we address this very important question? Does the belief in shafa'a and intercession encourage people to sin, to take sins lightly, or does it not? Let's examine this very important question in the following stages. First of all, let's compare shafa'a to tawbah. The Quran clearly talks about repentance, tawbah. No Muslim doubts repentance. The belief that we can repent for our sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Holy Quran very clearly that I forgive all sins. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. O you who've transgressed and sinned, don't lose hope. I forgive all sins. What do you say about tawbah if someone tells you the belief in repentance and talking about repentance encourages sins? What would you say about that? If someone gives you this objection, comes up with this objection, talking about repentance is going to encourage people to sin because they know that they can always ask for repentance, and so they're going to sin as much as they want, and they will take it lightly. How would you respond to that?
I'm not sure this is a right answer, but you mentioned one time that even people that don't sin need the shafa'a. So does that have anything to do with it?
So the brother is saying even those who don't sin need shafa'a. That's correct. We did talk about that. Even those who are sinless still need shafa'a to really get that eternal reward. But the problem over here that we have, if someone tells you, don't talk about repentance, don't tell people that there is repentance, because once you talk about repentance, that's going to encourage them to sin. Because a person says, you know what, let me have my fun, go after my desires and temptations, let me wrong others, let me do whatever I want, then I'll repent.
But to refrain from the sin has a more reward than to get repentance.
Refraining from the sin has a greater reward than repentance. Yes, that's one aspect of it. Not sinning has a greater status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than sinning. We'll stop at that later on. Basically, what we say about repentance is that repentance is to give you hope. That if you've done wrong, if you've committed sins, it's not the end of the world. You're not eternally doomed. You still have a way out. It's to give you hope. That's the point of repentance. Because imagine if there was no repentance. You committed big sins in your life, and now you're stuck. What do? You lose hope. You're like, you know what? Why worship anymore? Why do good anymore? I'm already damned. Because I did those sins, that's it, I'm doomed. So what's the point? Repentance says, no, you can start a new chapter. You can fix your life, you can fix your habits. In fact, if anything, repentance should encourage you to change. Because repentance and tawbah is telling you there is another chance. And many times when you know there's another chance, you're encouraged to actually change. That's the whole philosophy of tawbah and repentance. Same idea with shafa'ah. Shafa'ah means if you've committed sins, don't say that's it. I'm stuck. Nothing will save me from my sins. What's the point of me being good? Forget it. I'm going to end up in hell anyway. Shafa'ah says no. Fulfill the conditions of shafa'ah. Try to do some more good deeds. You'll be saved. There is hope. Don't say I'm doomed and that's it. There is actually room to be saved. And that really encourages a lot of people when they know there is a second chance. Let me give you another common example. Let's say you have to go to school, high school, college, get a degree, and then you'll have a stable job. Now let's say you're 25 years old and you never did any of that. You didn't go to school, you didn't go to college. So now you go to a company to get employed. What does the company tell you? The company tells you, you have to start all over, sorry. You have to go to school again, get your diploma, then go to college. And then once 10 years from now, you do all of that, 15 years from now, you do all of that, then come and we'll give you a job. Practically speaking, will you do that? You don't have the appetite at that age, like 25, and you want me to go and sit with kids and go to first grade again? Forget it. That makes you lose hope, and most people are not going to start over. But what if there's a shortcut? What if that company says, look, you don't have to go and start all over because you wasted your youth and life. We'll give you a one-year program. Come to this one-year program, show us good intentions, work hard, we'll help you get some sort of degree, then you can come work. Now what? Now you're encouraged. You're like, now I have another chance. I'll do what it takes. See, giving people another chance actually does give them hope and it encourages them to change. Many people, they change their habits and their lifestyle and their sinful life because of repentance, because of shafa'ah, because they really want that shafa'ah. So this is the first answer when it comes to addressing this question, does shafa'ah encourage people to sin or not? And the answer is, in fact, shafa'ah encourages you to stay away from sins, to be good, because you want to make yourself qualified more for shafa'ah. Remember, shafa'ah has levels. If you want the higher levels of shafa'ah, you need to be more qualified, you need to fulfill the conditions. So that is the first answer. And there is a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ in which the Prophet ﷺ states, إِنَّ أَقْرَبَكُم مِّنِّي غَدًا أَوْجَبُكُمْ عَلَيَّ شَفَاعَةً. The Prophet says, the closest of you to me on the Day of Judgment will receive the greatest share of shafa'ah. Okay, who are those the closest to the Prophet? أَصْدَقُكُمْ لِسَانًا, the one who's truthful the most. وَأَدَاكُمْ لِلْأَمَانَةً, the one who is most trustworthy when they're entrusted with something, whether a material object, whether it's a secret that they're entrusted with, they are honest. You can count on them. They don't betray you. وَأَحْسَنُكُمْ خُلُقًا, the one who has the best attitude, the best akhlaq. وَأَقْرَبُكُمْ مِنَ النَّاسِ, the one who's so humble, he's so close to the people. He's not arrogant and distances himself from the people. See, the Prophet ﷺ essentially is saying, okay, you'll get shafa'ah if you have some faith, but if you want the greatest share of shafa'ah, be good. So shafa'ah is actually encouraging you to be good, not encouraging you to sin. Because when you sin, you get less shafa'ah. You still get shafa'ah, but you get less of it. And you as a human being, you always want more. If you're told, you can go to this room, there's a lot of cash. in this room. Take as much as you want. You as a human being, you want the most. If there's $10 million in that room, you want $10 million. Are you satisfied, honestly, if you go to that room and you can take as much as you want from it? You take $1,000 and leave. When you leave, will you feel regretful? Will you or no? Big time. You'll have big regrets. I could have taken $1 million. Easy, just pick it up. But I didn't. That regret will kill you. Sometimes regret really just makes your life miserable. Well, the Prophet is saying, the shafa'a that you're entitled to is unlimited. The more good you do, the more you get my shafa'a. The more I'll ask Allah to elevate you in paradise for eternity. So don't make yourself regret that. Even if you go to paradise, and shafa'a gets you to paradise. Remember, paradise has levels. Is it worth it for eternity to miss out on the higher levels of paradise? If you were told this, just theoretically speaking, you know what? You can sin how much ever you want. There's no hell, there's no punishment. But the more you sin, the lower your status in paradise. Is it worth it? Think about it. Is it worth it? For 50, 60, 70 years, you sin here in this world. But then in the Akhirah, it's infinite. It's not 1 million years. It's not 1 trillion years. It's infinite. And because of your sins, you went to a lower status. Is that worth it? It's not worth it. Let alone adab and punishment, which there is punishment. But let alone the punishment. It's not worth it. If you're in a class and your teacher tells you that, look, everybody here will get a prize. Everybody. The prize starts with a little marker or a pen, and it goes all the way up to an iPhone X. S, what's the latest one? S, Max, whatever it's called. XS Max. Right? Okay. Now everybody's going to get something, but the teacher says whoever misbehaves, whoever does something wrong, they'll get a lesser prize. So now after an hour, you just have to be patient for an hour. After an hour, the professor says, okay, come. You behave the whole class. Here's your iPhone. You misbehave 20 times. Here. You get this. You get this pen. You get this little thing. Is it worth it? It's not worth it. See, nobody's punishing you. There's no punishment. Let's just say there's no punishment. It's not worth it. So yes, we do have shafa'a. But never let that encourage you to sin. Shafa'a will save the one who has belief, no doubt. But your status, the least thing that will happen, your status will be lowered in paradise. For eternity, it's not worth it. It's simply not worth it. So that's one way of tackling this question. Number three, the third answer over here. Sins and shafa'a, if we want to look at the relationship between them, is like medicine. Basically, shafa'a is medicine. When do you take medicine? When you're sick and you need it. Now imagine if I go bring a virus and I put it in my body to make myself sick. You ask me, what are you doing? Why are you making yourself sick? I tell you, so I can take the medicine and the medicine will treat me. So I'll cure myself. See, I have a medicine. I'll cause an infection in my throat, but then there's antibiotics. It'll treat me. Which sane person does that? Tell me. Which sane person does that? See, shafa'a, repentance, salamu alaykum, is like medicine. You need it when you fall into a sin. When you fall sick, you get medicine. But nobody deliberately, no sane person deliberately makes themselves sick so they get the medicine. Shafa'a is like the medicine. Don't deliberately sin and then you ask for shafa'a. That's insane. That's like the person who makes himself sick to get the medicine. What if the medicine didn't really work like you expected? What if? What if the sickness that you caused turned out to be not an infection? Something bigger than an infection. It's like playing with fire. Sometimes people say, you know what, let me sin, then I'll get the shafa. You don't know what these sins are doing to you. What if these sins blacken your heart so much, as we shall see, such that you're no longer eligible for shafa? See, no sane person does that to themselves, really. Nobody does that. It's simply not worth it. So that's another way of looking at it. But here's the most fundamental point that I would like to share with you on shafa'ah. We do believe in shafa'ah, no doubt. The one who dies with iman, even if they have mountains of sins, eventually shafa'ah, intercession, will save them. But after what? See, sins have effects. Have you seen a rock that's thrown into a body of water? It generates a ripple effect. Sins have ripple effects on all dimensions of our lives, on all aspects, but specifically on our spirit, on our soul. Sins leave a very negative impact on our spirituality. And when you keep sinning, you start to develop this immunity from sins, where you're no longer impacted, you don't care anymore. See, when you sin the first time, it's a big deal for you. But then once you keep sinning more and more and more, it becomes normal. And you fall into this world of sins, and you can't even feel it anymore. Sometimes that does happen. Now, when that happens, the heart becomes black. It becomes dark. The hadith says when a person commits a sin, a dark spot appears in their heart. When they sin the second time, a second spot appears. A third, fourth, fifth, sixth, until the heart completely becomes dark. Once the heart becomes completely dark, nothing can awaken you. And a person will lose their faith eventually. Yes, brother.
I can share a very short story with you guys. It's about a father and a son, and the son was a troublemaker, basically. And the father told him, okay, look, for every person you make a problem with, put a needle on the wall, right? And then he said, and he kept putting needles, and he's like, okay, father, I'm bored, I want to stop, you know? And I said, okay, for now, go, يعني, روح صالح مع اللي شاجرت معه.
Go make peace with them.
Go make peace, and for every person, go pull out a needle. Right, and then he pulled all the needles up, but in the end he had a wall that was full with
holes.
Holes, yeah. So that kind of
sin, sins have an effect. Sins really do have an effect, and they leave an impact. And their greatest impact is that they take away iman from you. See, you have faith now, but what guarantees you that you'll die with faith and you'll continue having faith? It's the good deeds. So if you die with good faith, you get shafa'ah. But what's the guarantee that you'll die with good faith? It's the deeds. In fact, in Surah Ar-Rum, verse 10, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states a bone-chilling verse in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, ثُمَّ كَانَ عَاقِبَةَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُ السُّوءَ. What was the end of those who continuously did bad? And they insisted on their sins and their injustice. What was their end? أَنْ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. See? The Quran says the result of insisting on sins is that one day you'll reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll reject Allah. You lose that faith. And this is a reality. Look at the tyrants in history. Look at, for example, a person like Umar ibn Sa'ad who went to kill Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He was told, don't you know that if you kill the grandson of the Prophet, Sayyid Shabab Ahlul Jannah, you're killing Sayyid Shabab Ahlul Jannah, the master of the youth of paradise. You think you'll enter paradise when you kill the master of the youth of paradise? Impossible. He says, oh, I know. He says, I'm very well aware of that. Umar ibn Sa'ad knew exactly what he was doing. In one line of poetry, he says, وَفِي قَتْلِهِ النَّارُ الَّتِي لَيْسَ دُونَهَا حِجَابٌ. And I know that by killing Hussein, I will go to a hell and nothing will protect me from that hell. But what?
What was his reason?
He said two reasons. My first reason is, وَمُلْكُ الرَّيْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي. I want the mulk of Ray. I want the kingdom of Ray, which Ibn Ziyad had promised him. It's power. I love power in this world. But here's the second one. He says, okay, they say there is heaven and hell. Fine, there is hell. فَإِنِّي أَتُوبُ إِلَى الرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ سَنَتَيْنِ 2 years from now, I'll do tawbah. Let me enjoy, let me kill Hussein, let me get the power of kingdom. And then 2 years from now, once I've got what I wanted, then I'll do tawbah. See the misconception? See the wrong mentality here? Now what happened to someone like Umar ibn Sa'd? He never repented. Because he was engulfed with sins to such an excessive state, he never had the tawfiq and the success to repent. And that's the danger when it comes to insisting on sins. They take away that tawfiq from repenting and from receiving shafa'ah for some people, if they insist on it. So don't ever feel safe, okay, there's shafa'ah, let me sin. What if you lost your faith? At the moment of death is our most difficult moment. The ahadith describe that a believer goes through extreme thirst. Extreme thirst. Thirst like you've never experienced before in your life. At that moment, Iblis comes with a cup of water. And you desperately need that cup of water. But it's a test. Allah's putting you on a trial. Iblis says, you want this? You want me to quench your thirst? You're like, yes, I desperately need that. He says, okay, disbelieve in Allah. See, if I've spent my life, an entire lifetime, saying yes, yes, yes to my desires, in that moment I'm going to say yes. But if I've trained myself to say no, no, in that moment I'll say no. That's the real test. Al-Muhaddith Al-Qummi, he narrates a very chilling story from Al-Fudayl ibn Ayyad. Fudayl ibn Ayyad was a scholar, he was a zahid, an ascetic, a humble person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually granted him the tawfiq to repent, because his life was a sinful life. He would break into people's homes and cause trouble. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him, and he is guided by the blessings of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Al-Fudayl ibn Ayyad had a knowledgeable student. He had students. The most knowledgeable of his students was in the state of ihtidar, in the moment of death. So Al-Fudayl was summoned to go to the house of his student to help him in those final stages. Your student is dying, come read him dua, do something for him. Al-Fudayl goes. He meets his student. His student was in the state of dying. So he takes out the Quran and he starts reading Surah Yasin, which comforts the soul. His student signaled to him to stop. He told him, stop. I don't want to hear it. I wanted to hear it, Surah Yasin. He was puzzled. Why? He thought to himself, you know what? Maybe it's a long surah and he's just going through so much difficulty. Let me just do the talqeen, where you teach the dying person to say, you know, La ilaha illallah, and to go over their religion. He says, I started to do the talqeen, and I told him, say, La ilaha illallah. Say, there is no God but Allah. You know what happened? His student told him, stop, and then he says, Inni abra'u min La ilaha illallah. I condemn La ilaha illallah, and I seek distance from La ilaha illallah, and he died. Al-Fudayl ibn Ayyad was highly, highly disturbed. Al-Muhaddith al-Qummi narrates this incident. He was very disturbed by this. How could this happen? He was one of my students. What happened to him for him to have such a fate where he dies as a disbeliever and he condemns La ilaha illallah? What happened to him? A while after, he sees him in his dream. Fudayl ibn Ayyad, he sees his student who died in his dream. He tells him, what happened to you? Why did you stop me from reciting Surah Yasin? And why did you say, Inni abra'u min la ilaha illallah? Why did you say something like that? You died as a disbeliever. He told him, oh Fudayl, three sins I insisted in my life, which gave me this fate. And at that moment of death, I gave up my iman. He said, what are those three sins? He says, the first one is jealousy. Because of jealousy, I would ruin people's lives. When I would see someone successful around me, I want to bring them down. There are some people like that, unfortunately. They can't handle see anybody successful around them. A friend, a family member, a community member. And they try to bring them down when they see their success. He says, that's the first sin. The second sin is namima, tattletaling. I come and tell X person, you know what your friend said about you? And I create tension between them. And then I go to his friend and I tell him, you know what he said about you? And my intention is to create tension. And the third one, he said, I would drink alcohol occasionally sometimes. Yes, there are many people who drink, unfortunately. And they know that the religion of Islam is very sensitive when it comes to alcohol and drinking. He says, these three sins gave me this fate. أَبْرَأُ مِنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Can you imagine? A person, in that last moment, he's distancing himself from the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the effects of sins. The state of ihtidar is a very, very important state. So that's the fourth point to consider when we try to address the question, does intercession and shafa'a encourage sins? Remember, if the sins are too excessive, if someone doesn't really repent from those sins and change, maybe you lose your faith in that moment. But the good deeds will protect you. The salah, the fasting, the charity, birr al-walidain, being righteous towards your parents and dutiful, all these deeds, at the moment of death, they become like bodyguards for you. If the shaitan wants to come, the salah will push him away. He comes from the other side, your sadaqah pushes him away. He comes from this angle, your dutifulness to your parents pushes him away. Yes, these deeds protect you at the moment of death. So that's the fourth point. The fifth point. Fine, let's say you'll die as a believer. Let's say. Is it worth going through the pain and suffering of paying off for those sins? See, shafa'a will say, okay, I'll save you from hell. You won't go to hell for eternity. Or you won't even go to hell. But from when you die till you actually enter paradise, what happens? What happens? Alam al-Barzakh, the moment of death, what happens? When Salman al-Muhammadi spoke to that dead person before he passed away, the Prophet had given him a sign. Oh Salman, the sign that indicates you're about to pass away is that you'll speak to the dead. So he goes to the cemetery and he speaks to a young man who had died. You know what that man told him? It's a long conversation. He explains to Salman step by step how his soul was taken, what happened when they put him in this grave, and then his soul was ascended into the... He talks about the steps in detail. It's very interesting, the conversation that he has with Salman. But he says one line. Every time I remember that, it sends chills down your bone. He says, إِنَّ قَرْضًا بِالْمَقَارِيضِ وَنَشْرًا بِالْمَنَاشِيرِ He says, being cut with sharp objects, being cut with a chainsaw, with a saw, is easier to handle than naz' al-ruh, than the soul being pulled from the body. It's not a joke. If someone has sins, that's the result of sins. The person has to be purified from those sins. Allah forgives and forgives and forgives. But there are some sins Allah is just also. We have to be held accountable for. Once a very respected scholar told me, he was imprisoned many, many years ago. He was in jail. And in that jail, he was subjected to torment and punishment. By the way, many scholars in our history have gone through this. Many, many scholars. And sometimes we forget how much they sacrificed. In any case, he was telling me the punishment that was, you know, being inflicted on him in jail. He said something that just really changed my whole perspective on, you know, the moment of death. He said, when they were punishing me so severely, I had a thought in my mind as I was being punished because the punishment was very severe. I couldn't handle it. He's like, if I were told, we'll take you to solitary confinement. And you know how solitary confinement is, you know, detrimental to your psychology when you're alone for a long period of time. He's like, if I was told that this punishment will stop right now in jail, the torture will stop, and will take you to solitary confinement for 2 million years. And he's like, when I had that thought, I knew how long is 2 million. But there isn't this punishment, I would have accepted. I would have made that deal. Just stop this punishment and I'll go to solitary confinement for 2 million years. That's how painful it was. That's how painful it was. See, it was seconds, maybe minutes. But the human being can't handle that. Imam Ali alayhi salam, dua come in, he makes references to that. He says, look how weak I am. Sometimes in this world, I trip, I fall. A bala that's very short, I can't handle it. What about the bala of the akhirah? We can't handle it. We don't have the capacity to handle that. So yes, there's shafa'ah, no doubt. But is it worth it to put yourself in that state? That's just the moment of dying. What about in the grave? What about the barzakh? What about the day of judgment? There's one hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, which is found in the tafsir of Imam al-Askari salawatullahi alayhi. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi states, اتقوا الله معاشر الشيعة. The Prophet is addressing the Shia. Yes, you're on the right path. But اتقوا الله. Have piety. Be righteous. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ لَن تَفُوتَكُمْ. Yes, paradise eventually will be given to you. You won't miss out on paradise. But after what? If you have many sins. After what? وَإِنْ أَبْطَأَتْ بِهَا عَنْكُمْ وَإِنْ أَبْطَأَتْ بِهَا عَنْكُمْ قَبَائِحُ أَعْمَالِكُمْ. Yes, your sinful deeds can delay going to paradise, even though eventually you will go there. He was asked, قِيلَ فَهَلْ يَدْخُلُ جَهَنَّمْ أَحَدٌ مِّن مُحَبِّيكَ وَمُحَبِّي عَلِيٍّ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. He was asked, the one who really loves you, Ya Rasulullah, and loves Imam Ali, will he go to hell? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi states in this hadith, مَنْ قَذَّرَ نَفْسَهُ بِمُخَالَفَةِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلِيٍّ. Look at the wording of the Prophet. He says, the one who pollutes himself, contaminates himself by disobeying Muhammad and Ali, وَوَاقَعَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ, does all the haram acts, وَظَلَمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, oppresses the believers, وَخَالَفَ مَا رُسِمَ لَهُ مِنَ الشَّرِيعَاتِ, violates every aspect of Islamic law, جَاءَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ قَذِرًا طَفِسًا, on the day of judgment he will come filthy. On the day of judgment he will come filthy. Just imagine if there's no punishment, but on the day of judgment, I stand before the Prophet in a filthy state. Is that worth it? In fact, there is no physical punishment. The fact that you're put through this, the psychological shaming that's involved for those sins that a person was negligent with and never really repented from, is it worth it to put yourself in that state? So the Prophet says this person will come filthy. يقول محمد وعلي عليه السلام يا فلان أنت قذر طفس لا تصلح لمرافقة الأخيار. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Imam Ali will tell this person, you're too filthy to join the very righteous pure ones. So yes, you'll get saved because you love us and you had proper beliefs. You'll get saved from those sins, but those sins have to be washed off from you. Sometimes when you want to purify something, how do you purify it? Like for example, gold, if it's mixed with elements, how do they purify gold and they get pure gold?
Fire.
So the Prophet tells him, yes, we'll take you to paradise. But you're so filthy because of your sins, you can't go to paradise like that. So the Prophet in this hadith says, the person will be burned so that filth is removed, it's melted away from him.
Tathir,
purification. That's painful, is it worth it? It's not worth it. Yes, there's shafa'ah, Allah forgives, no doubt about that. The person will be saved from hell. But it's not worth it. It really isn't worth it. Let me give you a final example here about this point. Imagine, today doctors discover a medicine for paralysis, the one who gets paralyzed. If you fall and you break your spine, you get paralyzed, doctors say, we've got a procedure that will correct that. However, this procedure, this medication, takes 10 years to do its trick. So anybody who gets paralyzed, we'll give him the medication or we'll do the procedure, but you have to sleep paralyzed for 10 years. After 10 years, you can jump around. Now, you know what somebody says? Imagine. Somebody says, you know what? I like the idea. Let me go jump off from a cliff or from some high place. Let me break my back and neck. I'll be paralyzed, but then I'll get that medication, and 10 years from now, I'll be up and running. Which sane person does that? Which sane person does that? Yes, you'll get cured from that paralysis. No doubt about that. But after what? After 10 years of sleeping paralyzed? Is it worth it? So yes, there's shafa'ah. But then to get saved, there's a long path. Is it worth it to put yourself in that state? So those who pose this objection and they want to reject shafa'ah or talking about shafa'ah, they're like, look, when you talk about shafa'ah, you're encouraging people to sin. This is the counter argument here. No. Shafa'ah is to give you hope. Don't lose hope. However, you still have to be responsible for some of the sins that you commit. It's not worth it to put yourself in that situation. So never have this thought. It's okay, let me sin, enjoy myself, and then I'll repent, and then I'll do shafa'ah. What if you didn't? What if you didn't have the tawfiq to repent? What if you died and there's so many sins you never actually asked for shafa'ah for? You never actually repented from, sincerely. Because you know, most of the sins, we forget them. We don't even keep track of them. There was a man, an old man, 60 years old. Once he thought to himself, if I sinned once a day in my life, think about it, once a day. You have to be an angel to sin once a day, right? He's a very righteous person. If he's just coming once in a day, some people, they sin left and right. He said, if I committed a sin once a day, he calculated his age in terms of days. He's like, I'm 60 years?
18,000.
He said, I'm about 20,000 days old. 20,000 days. If I committed a sin per day, I have to meet Allah with 20,000 sins. When he thought about that, he fainted. The thought of that caused him to lose consciousness. 20,000 sins. We forget and they add up. So a believer never should tell himself, it's okay, go sin, there's shafa'ah. That's wrong. That's not how you deal with shafa'ah. In fact, shafa'ah should encourage you. No, stay good, do good deeds, you'll get more shafa'ah. So that's how we address this very important issue. Yes?
Let's say you had sins in your life, but then you become a tawbah, and then will God still, like in the grave, hasbak alayhun, for what you did long time ago? But you really, from your heart, did it, you asked for tawbah and all that. Will he still?
If a person sins and then truly asks for repentance, it's genuine repentance that's coming from the heart, and a person fulfills the conditions of tawbah, because oftentimes we commit sins that will violate the rights of others. We have to give them the rights back. If I took somebody's property, it's not enough to me and for me to sit and say, okay, astaghfirullah, oh Allah forgive me. No, give it back. Or if I've harmed someone's reputation, I've injured someone, and I've injured their feelings, their heart, I need to go and at least seek their apology, or at least try. If you've sincerely repented and you feel bad about it, regretful about it, and you've taken those steps, or let's say there's missed obligations, someone, let's say, has missed prayers and now they want to repent. Okay, repentance means that you also start on the qadha to make them up. That shows that you're genuine. If you've done that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't hold you accountable anymore for that. Allah will wash away that sin. You won't even be asked about it. It's gone. So in the grave, on the day of judgment, you won't have to answer to it.
Okay, is it true when you go to Hajj, God removes all your sins, even if they were very bad? Let's say you killed someone, God will remove that.
So if someone goes to Hajj in order for them to have their sins fully forgiven, there still are conditions. One, the first condition is to have faith, of course. You still have faith and you die with faith. Because the one who disbelieves and loses faith, they may not be entitled for the forgiveness. So the condition is you continue to be a believer and you continue to be faithful.
Don't repeat.
Number two, part of being faithful and being honest and genuine and sincere is that you don't go back and insist on those same sins. That's also very important. So if you're fulfilling that condition, you have that faith and you sincerely repented, you went to the Hajj, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does forgive. Even if someone committed an act of murder, we can't say the doors of mercy are closed. Sometimes some people, they may do something like that and then they really repent. Yes, Allah can forgive, of course. So one of the a'mal that bring the forgiveness of sins is the Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that all sins are forgiven. But remember, after the Hajj, you start a new chapter. Don't say, I've gone to the Hajj, everything's forgiven. Okay, from the last Hajj till now, what did you do? If you have sins that you did not repent from, those sins can get you in trouble. Those sins. And never underestimate a small sin. Don't say, oh no, this is a small sin. Maybe the wrath of Allah is in that sin. Even that small sin can do so much damage. Therefore, to basically conclude the discussion that we have about Shafa'ah, we examined in our discussion tonight the very important question, does Shafa'ah encourage sins? Because some people have that objection and they say, don't talk about Shafa'ah, this encourages people to simply count on the Imams to do Shafa'ah for them. You know, go to Ziyarah of Imam al-Hussein, you're forgiven, it's okay, now go back to your sinful habits. That's wrong. But it does not encourage sins. When we talk about Shafa'ah, if we understand what Shafa'ah means, Shafa'ah is to give us hope that you're not doomed, even if you have had a very bad past, you can always start from scratch, you can always start a new chapter, and Shafa'ah will give you hope. Believe, do good deeds, follow the Ahlul Bayt, love them. Allah has given them the power to save you. If anything, Shafa'ah then should give us hope. It should not, you know, encourage anyone to sin if they really understand the philosophy of Shafa'ah. Any questions, arguments about this? Because this is a very important discussion. In fact, oftentimes you'll find Muslims from other schools of thought who don't understand the system of Shafa'ah and the Ahlul Bayt school of thought, they make this objection all the time. You know, you Shias, you talk about Shafa'ah, you're encouraging your followers to keep sinning. That's not the case. And always, if you want to make an analogy, make the analogy between Shafa'ah and what? Tawbah, repentance. Repentance washes away your sins, and the Quran talks about it in many, many verses, that Allah will forgive any sin if you repent. Does that mean Allah is encouraging us to sin? Same concept over there.